If you have your Bible handy, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And here we are in the area of En Gedi. Early on in his life, David had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Samuel came and visited his home, and as Samuel was there to make a sacrifice, he ended up passing over all of David's brothers and finally calling David to himself, and it was there that David was anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. But while that was going on in David's life, the Bible also tells us that at the same time, Saul was being told that the kingdom was going to be taken from him and given to one who had a heart after God. And so when the Lord had made that announcement to Saul, from that moment on, Saul was always suspicious of any person who might potentially dethrone him and his family that followed after him. And so David comes onto the scene and God uses him mightily to slay the Philistine giant from Gath, whose name was Goliath. And suddenly David is recognized. He's taken into the home of Saul. He becomes his armor bearer. He ends up sitting at the table of the king, like one of his sons, really. He becomes best friends with Jonathan. And meanwhile, he begins to win all kinds of battles. In fact, over and over in 1 Samuel, it says, David behaved wisely and the Lord was with him. David behaved wisely and the Lord was with him. David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul. This is a consistent record of David's life as he was serving in the army of Saul. And there was one victory after another victory and another victory after another victory. And on one occasion, as they were coming back into the city, it says that the people began to sing the praises of Saul, as they would often do when they would come in from fighting against their enemies. And they began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul suddenly realized, as the song was going up, as the whole community was singing this song, he did the math. Wait a second. 10,000s is more than thousands. They're attributing more to David than they are to me. And as we already learned, when we were in the area of Bethshan, that Saul was completely jealous, always suspicious, very prideful. And so immediately it says, from that day forward, he began to eye David. And he also would put David into harm's way on more than one occasion, hoping that David would die in battle. But everywhere that David went, the Lord preserved him. And it says as a result that Saul was dreadfully afraid of David because he saw the hand of God upon his life. And there would be times when Saul would be troubled with a distressing spirit and David would come in and he'd play his harp and in order to soothe Saul. And Saul would be picking up spears and throwing them at David. And David would duck and he'd continue to minister to Saul. Saul even came up with a plan to have him marry one of his daughters, saying hopefully she'll be a snare to him. But even that backfired. It became apparent as time went on that Saul made his intentions more known, really, to David. And David knew that death was imminent for him unless he left. And so David was forced to leave. And as he left, for the next several years, David lived the life of a fugitive. He would go from one place to another. And Saul was relentless in pursuing David to put him to death. Because as long as David lived, Saul's reign would end. And so Saul basically, in this time of David living the life of a fugitive, is taking matters into his own hands. He is fighting against the ultimate will of God. And David stands in the way. And so he pursues him everywhere. And David would go to this place and hide out. He'd go to that place and hide out. And there was a group of mighty men that surrounded him. And they would live like fugitives, running from one place to the next, all the while God preserving them. And there were occasions because basically Saul made David's life miserable. David was separated from his family, separated from his wife. He separated from all that he loved, all that he valued. It was a miserable way to live the life of a fugitive, not knowing where you're going to go next, always having to be on the run, always having to be on the move. And so on one occasion here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David had an opportunity to end all the madness, or at least that's what some would suggest. For it says in chapter 24, verse 1, it says, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, look at this, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. And so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. But David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. And then, so here we are, David is hiding. You imagine, you look around and you see all these caves and you see all these rocks. I remember when the first time I came here, I thought, if I was a little boy, we used to play army. Every little boy picks up a stick, it's a gun, it's a sword, it's something. And you envision places to hide, cardboard boxes, trash cans, it doesn't matter. Caves, I mean, this would be an ultimate place to play capture the flag or something like that. And I looked at these caves and I thought, David could have hid there. He could have hid there. This was a great place to hold up. And so nothing just so happens, but Saul ends up going into the cave and David and his men are hiding in the inner recesses of the cave. Saul's eyes aren't adjusted yet. He's going in there to take care of his needs. What the Hebrew is on that, I'll let you decide. But nonetheless, he's going in to take care of his needs, obviously. And when he goes in to take care of his needs, it says here, notice in verse 4, then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. David arose secretly and cut off the robe of Saul. And it happened afterward that David's heart was troubled because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants. David has been living a life of fugitive. One day to the next, he doesn't know what's going to happen. And in a moment of time, there he is in the inner recesses of the cave. The one enemy that was making his life so miserable comes inside. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for David to take matters into his own hands. What an opportunity to just end it all. It wouldn't take long. Just be done. David was a warrior. He knew how to take people out. One second, it would have been all over. And David would then be able to have that anointing upon him, make his way to the throne, perhaps. And it's interesting because some of David's men even said to him, they said, David, this is the day. Notice they invoke the Lord. The Lord gave you this opportunity, David. Take advantage of it. Do it now. This is the Lord. But it says that David was unwilling, really, to take matters into his own hands. What a temptation. What a struggle this must have been for him. And here's the thing. I believe every single one of us, there is a temptation from time to time to take matters into our own hands, to get even. To measure out maybe something that's been measured to us, and we want to fight it, and we want to go against it. And David has an opportunity to take matters into his own hands. But David wisely, although he cut the robe of Saul, after he did it, he felt convicted. He thought, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. I'm not going to stretch out my hand against God's anointed. I'm going to let God deal with Saul. God's the one that put Saul on the throne, so I'm going to let God be the one to dethrone Saul. I'm going to remain innocent, and I'm going to stay faithful. Guys, the lesson for me is I look here and I think about En-Gedi. It's not so much fighting a great place to hide, but really the lesson is not taking matters into your own hands when you've been given an opportunity. And there'll be many times in the midst of the will of God that opportunities will present themselves and you'll have a decision to make. Am I going to try to make this happen? Or am I going to believe the promises of God's word that he's going to bring it to pass in my life? See, that's what it really came down to. That moment in the cave for David, am I going to trust God that what God said and how God anointed me and that God was going to bring me to the throne, that's going to come to pass? Or am I going to take matters into my own hands and I'm going to make it happen? This was a great challenge for David. But it was here a decision was made. David said he refused to take matters into his own hands. And as a result, God blessed him for that. And this would later on serve him well, many years from now. But nonetheless, this was a valuable lesson here in En-Gedi. To not take matters into your own hands, to trust God, that God will bring it to pass in his own time. And I would say to you today, maybe there's something you've been praying about. Maybe there's something you've been waiting on the Lord for. And the temptation is there. Maybe somebody's hurt you. Maybe somebody's bothered you and you thought, all right, that's it. I got a chance to get even. I'll get even. Watch this. And you have that opportunity. But rather than take matters into your own hands, I want to encourage you to do this. Leave it in the hands of the Lord. Leave it in the hands of the Lord. So often I think I know what God's up to. I think I know exactly what God's doing. And most of the time I'm wrong. It's something different than what I expected. And he completes it and he does the work a different way than I expected. So I encourage you, don't take matters into your own hands. Leave it in the hands of the Lord and he'll bring it to pass in his good time. Amen? All right. Father, thank you so much for the chance here to be in En-Gedi, to see where King David, Lord, fled from his enemy, and how you preserved him and how you protected him. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, even as you preserve David, you preserve us. And Lord, David couldn't be taken because eventually from David would come the Messiah. And Lord, I thank you that you preserve the king, which would ultimately lead to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to behave wisely in every situation, trusting you that your hand is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.